Over 50 organisations are jointly calling for an independent inquiry into New South Wales protest policing. It follows response to government crackdowns amid nationwide demonstrations against Israeli President Isaac Herzog's visit. On Monday, thousands rallied across all major cities. Tensions flared in Sydney, where the state government applied new laws and invoked special powers, declaring Herzog's visit a major event. Many protesters are outraged at what they term as excessive police brutality. The New South Wales Premier, Chris Minns, has openly defended these actions. Australian Palestinian Advocacy Network Executive Officer Katie Sharmus says she backs a review and reflects on her time at the protest.
The police presence was nothing I have seen in my years of protesting. From the very beginning, feeling of intimidation and threat. And then what happened was a complete obstruction of our civil liberties, and police officers kettled the crowd, attack the crowd. And I guess I would just say that this attack is currently on the Palestine movement, but it is a broader threat to our democracy and all of Australia's civil liberties.
Demonstrations turned to Canberra on Wednesday and in Victoria later this week, where police were granted additional powers, adding to national actions slammed by civil rights groups. President of the New South Wales Council for Civil Liberties, Timothy Roberts, highlights the significant impacts of recent police responses, particularly emerging in New South Wales.
Look, they're frankly draconian approaches. I think there's a marked difference in the way that New South Wales has approached it to the other states and territories. There are obviously some worrying police presence and interactions, but in New South Wales, we saw a particularly violent reaction from the police that I think connects directly to the rhetoric of the New South Wales Premier and the end of a long trend of aggressive approach to assembly in this state. It's a really disappointing take.
Democracy isn't only made at the ballot box once every 3 to 4 years. It's something that is consistently sustained through the participation of people in the issues that they care about and coming together in public places. And having our voices heard is absolutely crucial to fostering a sense of belonging to a nation where democracy matters.
That was protest rights campaigner from the Australian Democracy Network, Anastasia Radovesca. She says recent demonstrations are part of a growing trend in tightening anti-protest laws.
It's part of a long trend of the shrinking of democratic space in Australia over the last 5 to 10 years. So we've had over 50 anti-protest laws passed in the last 2 decades in Australia, and 10 of them have been in New South Wales. And it's not surprising that as that space for democratic expression shrinks, communities are increasingly coming up against violent police responses when they try to assemble peacefully. And those responses have increasingly been ones that breach the human rights obligations of police forces, including in relation to their own guidelines around uses of force. And unfortunately, the levels of accountability for these kinds of uses of force are very low.
And recent laws have emerged with claims of improved safety, public order and social cohesion. But what impacts have you actually seen come from these so far?
The laws haven't actually prevented protests from going ahead as such. People have exercised their right to protest under the Public Assembly Restriction Declaration in terms of gathering in static assemblies. The only thing that the declaration does is prevent people from marching. So it's unclear how marching is inherently more dangerous.
Last December, the New South Wales Parliament passed the Terrorism and Other Legislation Amendment Bill, seeing the state adopt what experts term as some of the most substantial restrictions on public assembly in state history. Mr. Roberts believes these laws aren't fit for purpose.
The laws that were passed in the wake of Bondi were really not fit for purpose from the start. They didn't do anything to address that horrific event that happened. And what they did do was give police way too much place in our public life in declaring what protests can or can't be authorised. What that does is place police in a highly political position, despite the fact they're not in an elected office at all, to declare what protests can and can't proceed in that area. Ultimately, it takes them away from their operational role in safety and makes them give them a political role in controlling what aspects of our democracy can speak at a time. That is not the role of police, and it undermines their job and the trust of the community in what they do.
And across the country, each state and territory, again, as I understand, has adopted much stricter anti-protest laws. How do you interpret the support or opposition of these laws and their expanding national trend?
We've had a real failing of political leadership in this country. What I interpret is a leadership that is increasingly unable to meet those troubles in this time, and they're calling in this moment to silence the community, to silence the unrest about that, and I think it's a disgrace. What we should be doing is facilitating spaces for discussion and debate and to go through the issues and also to seek and heal as a community, and we have a regressive government that's doing the opposite.
Advocates and civil rights groups say peaceful protests are necessary for a healthy democracy.
It's one thing to question what the truth is when we see the intervention of big technology, social media, particular media outlets, wanting to twist and spin a particular word. What is unequivocal in the truth of the matter is an assembly. And we saw that, for instance, with the March for Humanity over the bridge. A government said this is a fringe issue not representing the community, and then 300,000 people walked over the bridge, and it tells the government they've got this wrong. But that's a great example about how in assembling, in using our right to march, we can make very clear, unequivocally, about what a community's view is on an issue.
As the week closes, a number of civil liberties experts echo calls for change.
So we're calling for an independent review of protest policing practice in New South Wales. And in addition, we have also previously called for a review of all the 10 anti-protest laws that have been added to the books in New South Wales over the last 10 years. We have a patchwork of protest restrictions that are confusing, overly restrictive of the capacity of communities to exercise their right to protest. We would like to see governments publicly commit to protecting the right to protest.
Protest rights campaigner from the Australian Democracy Network, Anastasia Radovesca, ending that story. The Wire also reached out to a number of Jewish organisations for response.